February 6th, 2025. Makoto Uchida, CEO of Nissan, walks into a private boardroom in Tokyo. Waiting for him is Toshihira Mibe, president of the Honda Motor Company. The two are in talks to merge into a Japanese super company. This could save Nissan, which is on the brink of collapse. But Uchida sits down with a different agenda. Face to face, he informs Mibe that Nissan was withdrawing. The deal was off. Just a month later, Uchida announces he'll step down as CEO. His decision may have doomed his company altogether. How did it come to this? How did Nissan end up on the brink of collapse? And why did they turn down salvation when it was right there? To find out, we need to go back to the late 90s. Nissan was drowning in $32 billion of debt. Its market share collapsed and earnings were going up and down. Why? At this time was the 1997 Asian financial crisis. Demand for cars was low and Nissan, along with its competitors, were losing money and had growing debt. Even Toyota was in trouble. Then came their salvation. The French automaker Renault bought a controlling stake in Nissan, 36.8%. With it came the birth of the Renault-Nissan alliance and a new CEO, Carlos Ghosn. Ghosn pledged to get Nissan back into the green within a year. He was a captain in the midst of Nissan storm. He began massive cost cutting. 5 Japanese plants were closed and 21,000 workers were laid off. Consultants were cut, debt was slashed, and to be fair, he put his own head on the line too. We said very clearly that if any of the one goals were not reached, the president of the company and executive committee would resign. And soon, the deadline came. So, did he pull it off? Yes, Nissan reported its best financial results in history. In his first year, Nissan's net profits climbed to $2.7 billion from a loss of $6.46 billion. The company celebrated as they had escaped bankruptcy and Ghosn had done the impossible. Yet, little did everyone know that Ghosn would later be the one responsible for bringing Nissan to its knees. For now though, Ghosn wasn't done. In 2005, he became the CEO of Renault while still CEO of Nissan. He was the first person in the world to become the CEO of two companies on the Fortune Global 500 at the same time. Everything was going great. Then, they did something big. In 2016, Nissan acquired 34% of Mitsubishi Motors, creating the Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi Alliance. The three would work together, meaning more scale, more efficiency, and more leverage against giants like Volkswagen and Toyota. Nissan was now a global juggernaut, and at its head was Ghosn as the chairman. The alliance seemed unbreakable. At least, that's what everyone thought.
Arrested in Tokyo Monday, Carlos Ghosn is suspected of underreporting his income to Japanese authorities. In a statement, auto giant Nissan said it's been conducting an internal investigation for months on the basis of a whistleblower report.
This was bad. Not only was he underreporting income, but Ghosn had also used company assets for personal reasons. In November 2018, Ghosn was removed as chairman. And while waiting for trial in Japan, he fled to Lebanon where authorities couldn't catch him. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. The scandal created a PR nightmare for the alliance. The shares of the companies all fell, yet Nissan had another problem. Ghosn had led the alliance for over a decade, and with him gone, so was the stability. Mitsubishi distanced himself, Renault appointed new boards, but Nissan in particular was directionless. While Ghosn had risen to chairman, Nissan did have a CEO, Hiroto Saikawa. Though, to make matters worse, shortly after Carlos stunned, Saikawa was also involved in a pay scandal and resigned. The situation had gone from terrible to even more terrible. Who could possibly lead Nissan now? Well, in October 2019, the board unanimously appointed Makoto Uchida as CEO, but Uchida had some challenges ahead. With all the scandals, Nissan's share price had halved between 2018 and 2019. Then came COVID-19. In the first quarter financials for 2020, Nissan reported a 50.5% drop in revenue. an operating loss of 1.44 billion USD and net loss of 2.67 billion. Nissan was back in the red. So, what did Uchida do? Well, in that same report, Uchida outlined Nissan Next. This was the recovery plan. Our aim is to bring Nissan back on a growth track by the end of fiscal year 2023. To realize this, we will ensure steady, profitable growth without pursuing excessive sales expansion. Concentrate on core competencies while enhancing the quality of our business and financial discipline. And restore a culture defined by Nissan-ness for the new era. But what does all of this actually mean? Well, Uchida also laid out tangible metrics, 5% operating margin and a global market share of 6%. These were the benchmarks. Being still in the red, Nissan was far below these, and there was a lot to do. Could Uchida pull it off? Could Nissan do the impossible a second time? Most people walk into a meeting thinking they'll remember everything. That's usually not the case, and that's why I'm excited to talk about today's sponsor, Plod. Plod is a suite of dedicated AI note-taking devices. Think of it as a recorder, a transcription service, and a business associate all rolled into one. Instead of draining your phone or juggling apps, you just press a button and Plod handles the rest. In practice, Plod now does all-in-one capture, record audio, take pictures, jot notes, and mark key points so nothing gets lost. It transcribes with the GPT-4 or Claude 3.5 Sonnet, removes background noise, identifies speakers, supports 112 languages, and generates clear summaries with key takeaways and action items. The upgraded Ask Plod goes further than search. It can draft emails, extract data, and even help you brainstorm. I tested it on a logically answered ideation call. Within seconds, Plod had turned 30 minutes of messy back and forth brainstorming into a clear outline of top ideas, ideas to be considered, and next steps, saving me the hassle of writing a recap for team members who weren't on the call. It's already the best-selling AI note-taker on Amazon in the US, Japan, Europe, and South America. Over 250,000 people use it every day, and the sleek design has even won Red Dot and IF awards. Forbes and Fox have featured it, and every device comes with 300 free minutes of transcription credits every month. If you want to save time and boost the productivity of your meetings, click the link in the description to get a Plod device for yourself with a special discount. Thank you to Plod for supporting our videos. The key to Uchida's strategy was in his speech. Core competencies. Global production capacity was cut by 20%. Nissan's product line was trimmed by 15%. They rolled out 12 EVs even ahead of schedule to capture the huge exploding market. Nissan's global management was cut down. This also helped them reallocate and optimize over $3 billion in costs. So, did it work? Soon enough, Nissan reported their 2021 financial results, their first year of Nissan Next, and it was a success. Operating profit was $2.2 billion, or 247 billion yen. The company was out of the red, but Uchida couldn't get too excited just yet. Even with all their effort, that margin was only 2%. They had to get that to 5%. There was also no mention of that 6% market share goal. So, Nissan continued. In 2022, their margin increased to 3.6%. Then, it happened. Third quarter results of 2023, 478.4 billion yen, or about $3.3 billion. An operating profit margin of 5.2%. They had done it. Nissan's leadership celebrated, although there was still no mention of their market share goal. But, unfortunately, it wouldn't last. Behind the scenes, a domino effect was taking place. Uchida and Nissan would watch their hard work slip away in just a matter of months. It began with the Nissan Rogue and Sentra, popular car models in the US, a crucial market. Most car models have yearly cycling versions. A dealership will run low on one model and a new version will arrive, keeping the process smooth. But dealerships noticed a problem. The 2023 models weren't selling as fast as they had hoped. There was an oversupply, but it got worse. Something was going wrong with production. Uchida explained that we could not reduce the inventory to the expected levels. The main reason was that the transition between the model year 2023 and model year 2024 Rogue models did not go smoothly, which led to an increase in inventory. The Sentra was having similar issues, some caused by the Rogue bottleneck. In early 2024, inventory was over 640,000, half of which was just sitting in dealerships. Back in 2021, inventory was just 250,000. Nissan had to get rid of all of this extra inventory, so they ran massive discounts. Prices were slashed. Nissan gave dealers cash incentives if they could sell off inventory. But this doesn't address the root problem. Why weren't the cars selling in the first place? There was something bigger taking place. Nissan was rolling out EVs and still producing combustion cars, though you might notice an absence in their lineup. Nissan had no hybrids. This was especially odd, since Japan was a major hybrid producer, especially Toyota. Nissan did make a Rogue hybrid, but they discontinued it in 2020. Nissan thought that with EVs on the rise, hybrids were on the way out. But in reality, hybrid demand ended up exploding. Hybrid sales in 2023 leapt to almost 1.2 million in the US, up 53% from 2022. Globally, that number is over 4 million. In fact, hybrids are even growing more than EVs. The more modern plug-in hybrids are also growing, showing a 65% year-over-year increase in 2024. For comparison, battery EVs grew by 23%. The electric battery market is growing massively, and people often attribute that to EVs. But in reality, it's the hybrids doing the heavy lifting, and Nissan had absolutely no hybrids to offer. They had a bet on the wrong horse. With the lack of demand and selling cars at virtually no margin, profits fell 99%, all the way to 995 million yen, or just $6.5 million. Over 9,000 jobs were cut worldwide, factories were scaled back, costs were slashed, dividends were suspended. To stay afloat, Nissan even sold off valuable assets, including its share in Mitsubishi. At a press conference, Uchida still tried to put up a strong front. These turnaround measures do not imply that the company is shrinking. Nissan will restructure its business to become leaner and more resilient. But everyone could see the writing on the wall. Nissan needed help, yet help came from an unexpected place. Little did he know, Uchida was about to face his biggest challenge yet. It wasn't cost-cutting, margins, or inventory. It was pride. Help came from another giant. Not Renault, not Mitsubishi, but Honda. And Honda is a very different brand to Nissan. In one word, diverse. They make cars, but also motorcycles, ATVs, power tools like lawnmowers, pumps, generators, and snowblowers, and were also a staple in marine and boat engines. They even have a division for private jets. Even outside of these other segments, Honda was Japan's second largest automaker behind Toyota. Their market cap at the time was around 45 billion, while Nissan was floating below 10 billion. In late 2024, the talks of a merger began. The plan was to finish talks by June 2025 and become a new company by 2026. Why? Honda was fearful of a new rising power. CEO Toshihiro Mibe said that, "The rise of Chinese automakers and new players have changed the car industry quite a lot." And he wasn't wrong. EV makers from China like BYD were already claiming most of the world's market share, even ahead of Tesla. If Honda and Nissan could merge, they would become the third largest auto group in the world, behind Toyota and Volkswagen. But to be clear, Honda would benefit from the merger, but Honda didn't need Nissan. Nissan, however, needed Honda. But based on the negotiations, you wouldn't think that. Internal sources said that the talks didn't go well. The cracks were showing as early as January. Honda saw the true desperation Nissan was in, and proposed cost-cutting. Certain plants had to be shut down, but Nissan wouldn't budge. These were politically sensitive, according to some insiders. Honda management also began to see Nissan's management as slow. But the worst of it is what followed. Honda made a revision. For many years, Nissan was Japan's second largest automaker, but now it was well behind Honda. And the revision was that Nissan would become a subsidiary of Honda as opposed to a more equal merger. Their costs were bloated, their cars weren't selling, and management was slow. They felt that Nissan could never recover on its own, but Uchida and Nissan's leader found this insulting. The original proposal was to be a merger of equals, although the state of the two companies couldn't be more different. With Honda being 5 times Nissan's size, they weren't equal. Regardless, Nissan had a deep sense of pride, and this was outlandish. On February 6th, 2025, Uchida informed Mibe face-to-face that the deal is off. The merger was over. Nissan's share price fell below $3, down 80%. Honda called the result disappointing, and Renault, who was still Nissan's largest shareholder, said the terms were a takeover without a control premium. A Japanese auto analyst wrote that, "Honda is pretty confident and has a lot in their favor, whereas Nissan is in a bad place. They don't have a dance partner right now." Nissan now had to survive on their own, but not with Uchida. He resigned just a month later. And now, Nissan is on the brink of bankruptcy. They reported their first operating loss in over 4 years, minus 79.1 billion yen or $534 million. Factories are on the brink of closure, and we're on the brink of crossing 1 million subscribers. We're trying to cross it by the end of this year, and we're over 80% there. If you hit subscribe right now, we might just be able to pull it off. Now, they have the tariffs to worry about too. They have revealed 3 new EVs to try to turn things around, but with the current EV industry, I'm not too optimistic. They are working on new hybrids, and a new CEO has stepped up, announcing over 20,000 layoffs. It's hard to say if Nissan will survive. They have $50 billion in debt, yet no profits. In fact, MacroAxess currently gives them a 100% probability of going bankrupt. That help from Honda would have been very helpful, but that's gone now. As they say, pride comes before the fall. Another Japanese automaker that's actually doing better than ever by going against the grain and betting on hybrids is Toyota. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.